Welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger, along with the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. Mitch, our first episode of December. Ho, ho, ho to you, my good man.
Santa season.
It's Santa season.
Santa's, the sleigh's getting stocked up, Wigs.
Reindeers are getting horny. It's all happening.
A sad Santa this year because Trump lost, and as we know, Santa is Tim Allen.
Yeah, he's a craven capitalist to the core. He really was hoping for more tax cuts.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I mean, Santa, I think he'll, you know, I think he'll do his duty. And hey, if anyone deserves coal in their stocking, it's the deposed former president, the lame duck himself, the man I refer to as the orange buffoon. So hopefully Santa will appropriately put him on the naughty list.
I call him the Cheeto in chief.
Mitch, that's really good.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It's really good. I mean, I've been rolling with Orange Buffoon for a while, but yeah, Cheeto in chief. You're coming in at the last minute with it, and it's nice.
This will
nice
be good for a good for a good. What do we have? Six more episodes before he's gone. How do you feel the Home Improvement family is feeling? Because Tim's got to do work.
Yeah,
Mark is a goth. He doesn't like I'm sure he doesn't like Christmas, right? He's a Halloween guy, if I had to guess.
Oh, I thought you meant politically, because I was going to say, I think Mark probably voted for Joe Jorgensen. I think it's hard for me to say.
Don't mind me, by the way. I'm opening up a thing of chili.
By the way, great. How many episodes could you say that at the top of? Wow, a little stop down, Mitch.
Yeah, classic. Hey, when this all started, you were, I don't know how to say this, mad at me because my internet was bad, if you remember.
You mean when all the Zoom stuff started, when all these remote records started?
That's right, and guess what? I'm the captain now.
I wasn't mad at you over the internet connection.
You were mad at me over the internet connection.
I wasn't mad. It's out of your control. It created made the records frustrating, as my current situation is making the records frustrating. I wasn't mad at you. It's not your fault that your internet sucks.
You don't have a good temper, or at least you don't deliver the news well.
I don't have a good temper. You're saying that I have a hot temper?
People know me as the character on the show. I'm actually a nice man off the show.
I'm cool as a cucumber.
That's not true.
I'm not a hot-tempered man.
So
I'm stoic, if anything.
I was supposed to record in the basement, but there's a guy coming to put a light into the stairway to the basement.
Wow.
Stairway to basement.
Very good. It's basically, I'm assuming it's something of a safety hazard. There's no light there now. Mm-hmm. You'd be careful walking down the stairs.
We're doing the basement over. I mean, the basement's been the same since I was born. Except for there was one little TV room, which we has always been the TV room, and that's been done over once or twice maybe since I've been alive. But then like the rest of the basement just is like, it's a shithole. So we're taking down the lights. We're putting in new lights, and the cats can go down there eventually. I don't know if they'll see it by the time they leave, but they put in new lights and they had to put in a new ceiling. But when they put in the new lights, it was too dark to go down the stairs. It was dark when you first got on the stairs till you got to the bottom.
Yeah,
And then you'd be blinded.
Dangerous.
Once you got to the bottom, you get blinded by the lights. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know, we've got like a fucking karaoke track list here.
Wow,
stairway to the basement into blinded by the light.
Yeah,
the get two yourself
classic
a mixtape
karaoke tracks.
Mitch, I have some breaking news here via the Living Moss subreddit, which is the Taco Bell subreddit, and I think I want to talk about it, but I also want to introduce our guest, and maybe he'll have a perspective on it because I'm actually not sure about his Taco Bell fandom.
Can I just quickly say that I ran upstairs,
yes,
with my computer stuff. I was 10 minutes late, to a record that is online, a recorded thing online. I was 10 minutes late. I apologize. I came upstairs. Irma had thrown up on my bed. She threw up on my bed when I was sleeping last night. I woke up in the throw up, but I hadn't changed it yet. So,
oh God, that's gnarly.
I gotta say, I kind of like it.
Oh, what are you doing? You didn't like sleeping in your cat's puke.
I kind of liked it. All right, now we can introduce our guest.
Our guest is an actor and comedian from Big Grande, known for the Teacher's Lounge podcast, and he's got some new projects in the works we'll hear about in just a little bit. But right now, we're thrilled to talk with him. Dan Lippert is here. Hi, Dan.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Thanks so much, Mitch. I've never had like a better pre-intro story, I think.
And now I'm eating chili off that very same bed right now, by the way.
Now, have you gotten rid of the pillow, the stained pillowcase or whatever?
It was all over the comforter.
So the comforter's off the bed by now, as I hope, as you're eating?
Yeah. Dan, it's long overdue. There's people that we should have had on the podcast a long time ago. You were one of them, and we apologize. We wish you were here earlier.
Not necessary. That is not necessary. I appreciate you having me.
It's the truth.
Dan, we insist. We're apologizing.
We're apologizing.
I don't accept it. I 100% don't accept your apology.
Dan, you have to accept it. We're not letting this progress unless you accept our apology.
Well, we'll have to get my lawyer, Mr. Giuliani, on the phone, and we'll see if we can litigate this apology.
He's having a good day today.
He really is. Good for him. Dan, I'll bring this news up. First off, are you a Taco Bell fan?
I like Taco Bell, yeah. I don't go there a ton, but
right.
I do like it. I would say.
Where does it rank in your fast food chains? Like, what are some of your favorites?
Okay, well, Carl's Jr. has really rocketed up for me because the one near me is always fresh. Every time I go, the chicken sandwich is fresh, the criss-cut fries are fresh, and the McDonald's near me is super inconsistent.
So
I eat a lot of Carl's Jr. compared to the rest because of the consistent quality.
Right.
I have become a huge fan of Shaquille O'Neal's Big Chicken, which is down the street for me.
Wow.
And it is fantastic.
I got it. We got to try this, Mitch.
It's in Glendale, Nick. I don't know if you'll want to venture that far, but
I can get to Glendale. That's no problem.
Hmm.
Quarantine traffic, it's a breeze.
They've got their own app, which you can only use for pickup, but you can download the app, put in a pickup order, and fly over and do a quick one.
I'm so into the apps. I love the apps.
Now, Dan, I got to ask you. This is important, Nick. Sorry. What's your order at Carl's Jr.? I heard a chicken sandwich going on, but I want to hear specifically what type and what you get there.
Great question, Mitch.
Thank you. I think it's the chicken bacon like Swiss.
I've had it. It's good.
It's really good. And criss-cut fries and a Dr. Pepper. I don't really get fast food burgers unless I'm doing like In-N-Out, Shake Shack. One of the more burgery places, but I try to avoid, if I'm already like making the choice that I feel is unhealthy, I try to avoid also doing red meat for whatever reason.
That makes sense. That's a good like, you know, compromise with your body for your health. I had a similar thing today where, and it was inadvertent, but I still felt good about myself anyway. I was using the Wingstop app to order me some Wingstop for lunch. I just woke up thinking about wings. I was like, if I don't get wings today, I'm going to lose my mind. So I woke up. I was like hungry at like 6 a.m. I was like, all I was thinking about was getting wings for lunch. So I went on the Wingstop app and I ordered myself a 10-piece combo. And I thought I was adding carrots and celery to my fries, but I accidentally did it on the app where I subbed carrots and celery for my fries. So I didn't
likely
get fries.
Likely story.
I didn't get... I like fries. Stop trying to pretend like I don't All like right. fries. I love fries. I was really hoping to get me some fries, and then they weren't in there, and I realized my own fuck-up, but then I was like, but now I'm saving all these carbs. I'm actually having a fairly healthy lunch. of just seasoned wings, you know, lean protein, basically, and some skin and some veggies on the side. So it worked out for me.
Hey, you were proud of yourself? What a surprise, you smug bitch.
Mitch is mad at me. We had a little spat before we were recording.
It's fine.
I've always wondered.
I agree that it's fine.
I've always wondered, because I have a podcast with my friend Ryan Rosenberg, and we're like pretty nice to each other on it. We don't really get into fights. And I wonder if your guys' on-air fights, like, do you ever leave with your feelings legitimately hurt? Or do you like go around like thinking like, oh, maybe I am this way and I should change it or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'll let Mitch weigh in, but for me, it's a wound that never heals.
We've had big fights on the show where we have been legit upset with each other. We've left with hurt feelings. I think you can tell in those episodes.
Shoot fights, if you will, mm-hmm. to use a wrestling term.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's always coming from, well, like when we have any sort of dispute, it's always coming from a place of like, we feel strongly about something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like you, Mitch. You're a good guy. You're a talented guy. It's great to work with you. We get some frustrations with each other because we are different men, and we are also both odd men. But
all right, good. You know what? I'll take that. We are. It's not like you're not difficult. I think that's the thing that annoys me with the show is everyone thinks I'm just difficult, which I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know I'm difficult, but you're also a little bit difficult. People don't know that.
Look, I'll be honest. I can be a little difficult.
You don't like anything. Oh, sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to keep
hearing. It's probably better to hear what you say than me saying he doesn't like anything.
I was going to make a dumb little joke about how those little devil horns from the emoji grew on Nick when he said that. But.
Nick, you don't like anything.
I don't think that's true.
I want you to be happy. I want you to do the show and be happy.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. You think I don't like anything, because I heard that from someone else recently. I was like, is that what I give off? Do people think I'm just a hater or I'm just a cynic? Because that's not how I feel.
Well, you like talking about like moving to the woods and never doing anything ever again. So in that way, I think that you don't like things.
Got it.
But I think that sometimes I'll jokingly, my way of saying stuff is I'll jokingly say stuff to you,
yes.
which sometimes does annoy me. And then you'll fire back at me annoyed, and then I'll get my feelings hurt, and that's kind of how it will happen.
Right. Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, that makes it sound like it's all coming from me.
No, I mean, sometimes I'm too much of a jerk with it. I know this. Well, I know I can be an asshole.
Yeah.
But it's my way of dealing with things.
We're both assholes to each other on occasion, and sometimes it's maybe more warranted than other times.
Mm.
And that, I think, partly comes from just having a close working relationship. It partly comes from us both being odd, difficult men.
But
as a reminder, I'm a little difficult.
There they are.
But at the end of the day, everyone should relax, because you know we're fucking.
But you're supposed to keep that on the down low.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Whole thing.
Sorry.
Of our arrangement. It's on the down low. So here's the thing I wanted to get to, Dan. This is regarding Taco Bell. And you may have more of a take on this. You will have more of a take on this, Mitch, because this is your, at least at one point, was your favorite restaurant. This is from the Living Moss subreddit, which is the Taco Bell subreddit. There's a few different Taco Bell subreddits, but our Living Moss is where the real Taco Bell heads hang out, the real Bell babies, if you will. Shout out Dumbbells Podcast. Here's the post's title: Is Steak on the Way Out?
Wow.
And then here's the body of it. I was just thinking about lunch, so I decided to look at the T-Bell app to see if anything made me want to vary up my order. I couldn't help but notice in the entire menu, only one item had steak on it, as listed on the menu, the steak quesadilla, which I did not realize. I did not realize a steak quesadilla is their only mainstay menu item that still has steak in it. If steak is almost exclusively an add-on or upgrade to other menu items, will they really keep it around? There doesn't seem to be any popular item that drives traffic to Taco Bell with steak in it. Mitch, your thoughts?
Well, Taco Bell is just embarrassing at this point. I think that they are, whoever they put in charge, like, they should be fired, Nick, immediately. They should lose their jobs. Fuck these. First of all, fuck these fucking rich CEOs anyways.
Yes.
But these guys have done a bad job. They've made people unhappy. Get them out. They deserve to go. Get them the fuck out of there.
Throw the bums out. I believe we've talked about this. I think this was your observation. It's more a new Yum brand CEO. And I don't know if he's has appointed his own little, you know, toady to run Taco Bell. But as far as the change in management, the change in upper management, it's the leadership at the Yum Brands umbrella corporation.
I actually think both have changed, Nick.
Oh, they both changed.
I think they have both changed. Yep. So,
Dan, on the rare occasion you do go to Taco Bell, what do you go for?
I really like a standard, like, soft taco supreme type of order. Mm. I like to get like 5 of those because they feel small in your hand. Yes. So it feels like you need a lot. And that's my go-to. I like a Crunchwrap Supreme. I like the Doritos Locos. I am a little, I don't know if you guys remember this, but when I was like 9, 10, 11, they had a BLT taco that I was obsessed with.
I do remember this, yes.
Yeah.
And they took it off the menu, and I took a little time away from Taco Bell, I think, after that.
Dan, that's what's happening right now. With
and
a lot.
I feel
I really...
like, yeah, it's a repeat. But this is all news to me. I guess I'm not as plugged into the Taco Bell, the Live Mas controversy. What's wrong with the new Yum Brands people?
Well, basically, the Taco Bell issue is that Taco Bell has contracted their menu, and they've gotten rid of, steak is actually the exception, because most of what they've been doing is getting rid of their vegetarian offerings, in particular all their ones where they use potato as a protein, and then also some of their other veggie items like the 7-layer burrito. They've just been excised in favor of just a more more beef and chicken focused way of things. And you can still get vegetarian items at Taco Bell, but it used to be very easy. And now it's like a little bit more of a headache, or substantially more of a headache. There's also just some items that people like that just aren't there anymore.
I gotta say this. Why hasn't steak already gone? Doesn't that seem like a cost cutting measure? That if there's no popular steak items,
yes.
Why do potatoes go before steak?
Cut that before potatoes, sure.
Sorry, yes, yes.
It sounds like they've seen the direction the world is going and said, we're going the opposite.
It's insane. Insane. Like, there was rumors that there's going to be like a Beyond Meat or whatever. What's the other one? The other
Impossible?
One.
Impossible.
But I think they are. Yum Brand so far has gone Beyond. The Pizza Hut has Beyond. KFC was testing Beyond Chicken.
Yeah, and that would be interesting, but then also, like, will they get rid of regular meat? I don't know what they're even going to do with it. So it's just it's a question of I don't know what the Beyond is going to do at Taco Bell, but why get rid of potatoes? Potatoes, people like potatoes regardless of Beyond meat. It's a completely different thing. So
yeah.
I was a vegetarian through most of college, or a pescatarian, the potato taco was a go-to order for me at Taco Bell. The fried potatoes tasted like meat, because I think they fried them in the same stuff, and it was fantastic.
Why I don't understand why you would want to get rid of that, and just everything else. I mean, like, the steak should have gone even earlier, but I'm sure there's people out there who love the steak. What was the issue? Your profits weren't high enough? Because people loved Taco Bell. It's one of the most popular places on Earth. They were definitely making money, Wags. What the fuck?
Honestly...
I'm pissed off, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I think I believed you for a second, and then I thought about it, and I was like, is it popular anywhere else?
I feel like Taco Bell was, it says, what's the movie that it says is not Judge Dredd, where it won the fast food wars. We watched
it. It's another Sylvester Stallone movie. It's not Judgment Day.
Something man, right?
Demolition Man.
We watched it for this podcast, did we not?
No, we watched it for Action Boys. We guessed it on the Action Boys podcast. Shout out Gabris and Stanger and Ben Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And we reviewed Demolition Man for that. Yeah, that's the one where Taco Bell has won the great fast food wars.
And it was going in that direction, and now it doesn't feel the same. There's been some weird rift, Wags. Something happened where they got to get back on track. It's a bummer.
They have created an opening for, hey, maybe a Chipotle resurgence, mm-hmm. maybe a Del Taco expansion, mm-hmm. maybe a, you know, maybe Moe's gets in there. I think in the fast casual Mexican sector, there is now like Taco Bell is surrendering market share and needlessly.
Moe's,
I don't get it.
The Simps from the Simpsons, Moe's?
Yeah, Moe Sizzlack. It's, you remember the Family Feed Bag episode? He basically like made him the guy, the real guy that he's, that Mo Sizzlack, the animated character, is based off of, mm-hmm. Is bringing that into real life.
I gotta say, since it's come up, mm-hmm. I saw on Twitter, and this, I don't know if you've talked about this in an episode, you guys are now Simpsons canon.
That is correct.
That is true.
Our buddy Matt Selman animated us into the show for mm-hmm. some reason. I don't know why.
How grateful. It's cool. What's wrong with you?
It is cool. I guess that to me is that seeing myself as a Simpsons character was when the show jumped the shark for me.
Jesus Christ. I was honored, Dan, and we haven't talked about it on the podcast yet, but it was cool to see.
Absolutely an honor. Very cool, Salman.
There are things that I see that make me like emotional, because it's like people I know, and I can tell it was probably a dream of, like, if you told 8-year-old them, it would be like amazing. And like, I relate to it. It's like, it would be a dream of mine. And seeing that made me like tear up. I was like, that's the coolest thing that could happen to two guys who I know love The Simpsons.
Wow. Dan, you showed so much more emotion than Weiger. If you told 8-year-old Weiger, even he'd be like, why is that going to happen?
I guess I was just so surprised. I was just like, what? Like, and also I'm doing this thing, and this is a thing I'm very annoying about, but it's improving my mental and emotional state. I don't look at my phone or social media at all on Sunday. I just have like a phone blackout day,
which is the day Selman told us. So I had to say to Selman, hey, Nick doesn't look at his phone on Sunday, but I'm sure that he's excited about this.
And then all these people were like tweeting at me and posting screen caps, and I just didn't get any of it until Monday when I woke up. And so I just like, I processed it in a weird way. I was just like, wow, this is, I was just surprised. I was kind of stunned silent.
I think your text back to Selman when you came back on Monday was, why'd you do that? I think was what you said. Jesus Christ.
It was very cool to see. Are you a Simpsons? You got to be a Simpsons fan, Lippert.
Yeah, I definitely grew up a huge Simpsons head. I have taped over. There was like a time, I don't know if y'all had this in your like rumor mill, but in like middle school, high school, people were like, they're gonna cancel the Simpsons. So I started taping them all.
Wow.
And I taped over like family videos. You know, like there's like a handful of like. I think like maybe some like bar mitzvah stuff that got taped over, or like, I don't know that this is true, but like some last videos of my grandparents in Israel before they passed away. And I just rolled over them with like the death of Bleeding Gums Murphy. but yeah, I was a huge fan, quoted it all the time, the whole nine.
Dan, I've done the same thing, but it's even like more pathetic. Is that like, Meryl Streep's breast looks good in Death Becomes Her, and I want to jack off when I'm 15. And so I tape over like the last footage of my grandpa. Segments, just little jack off segments. You know what I'm talking about, Nick.
I know where you're at also. I've watched the IFC was the greatest channel of all time for a while in my house, because they would show nudity, and I would watch like weird David Lynch movies and be like, someone's got to get naked at some point in this thing.
That's a great introduction into the Lynch world.
Yeah, before the pre-Mr. Skin days, when you had to rely on like, you know, the title card would come up before the movie, and you'd be looking for that big N for nudity.
Yeah,
and occasionally the BN for brief nudity, you could manage with that, and you're watching an entire like fucking 100-minute movie just hoping for like one scene where you could see a boob.
I watched all of Candyman till like 3 a.m., which has no nudity, but we like put it on super late, like watched it quietly, and disappointedly, it was a great movie, but didn't get what we wanted out of it.
Hey, put some nudity in the remake. Hopefully they're going to right that wrong. Yeah. Jordan Peele, hopefully you're listening.
I remember I watched a Monty Python movie. Is it Life of Brian, or maybe it's The Meaning of Life, where a bunch of topless women like chase him at the end?
That's Meaning of Life. Life of Brian meaning has of life, nudity, yeah. But it is Graham Chapman's hog.
Oh, yeah, really?
He steps out of the balcony, nude, and you see his hog.
Wow.
There's some good nudity in. I mean, whatever. Good is real. I like seeing a hog. But there's some.
You're like a living Mr. Skin for hog. It seems like.
Check out Mr. Foreskin. It's my new website. There's some women with their jubblies out at the start, very early on in Meaning of Life.
Jubblies, Jesus. yes, they chase him and he falls into a coffin, if I remember. But I just remember like watching that and then being so nervous. I watched it on my living room TV. So nervous that like my mom or dad would see me watching. I was so terrified. Probably something ingrained in me that was not good.
You got to have your hand on the previous channel button.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's be honest, you only got one free hand.
Yeah, the other one's fast forwarding through those nudity scenes. I feel like there's probably a lot of introductions to kids to like films that they'll love forever through just trying to get a little boner.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And truly, how lucky forever that we are, like grew up as straight boys where everything was made for us so we could at least get that nudity. Like right, everyone else in the world, what are they? They're getting nothing because all the movies are, in our generation are made by horny idiots.
Rightfully going extinct. Nick, I also got to say that I just realized my door is slightly ajar, and my mom is downstairs on a Zoom book meeting.
Oh, wow.
So I think said all that shit, and I think that a group of ladies was hearing my every word. So if I'm turning red right now, that's exactly the reason why.
I think they're probably focused on the Joy Luck Club or whatever they're discussing. I'm sure
you think they're reading the Joy Luck Club? What the fuck?
Well, I don't know. What's
1996?
All right, sorry. It's still a good book.
I think I heard they were reading 50 Shades Darker, so they might be totally fine with. Your mom might be closing her door right now.
Hey, we should get into this week's theme. And I'll credit our guest, Dan Lippert, for coming up with the perfect title for this, which did not occur to any of us.
God damn it.
Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggnog. We're going to be discussing the pilot for Frasier for our show pilot program and also talking about eggnog. And
now,
on
Dan,
that note,
I just want to say that we're on a text chain, and I texted toss, and I said, I just texted tossed salad and scrambled eggnog. And then Drop King, our associate producer, said, Dan Lippert actually already came up with that title. And I was pissed off.
Sorry, man. I'm wondering, do you not read the emails that you're CC'd on?
Of course not.
I'll happily take co-credit with you on that or give you full credit.
I love it. Thank you, Dan. It was our creation. I'm not sure what we'll make from this, but it's good to be in business with someone for once.
Yeah, this is nice. Thanks for having me also. I mean, I feel like I'm riding your coattails here.
No, hey, this is great partnership. Automatically much, much better than the one I'm currently in.
All right. Hey, so on that note, how about we play the Frasier theme song we all know and love? Let's get a little bit of this. I'm gonna share my screen.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Who's calling again?
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
I get it.
What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.
You exclaimed, you get it. What do you get, Mitch?
I said, who's calling again? I was like, oh, it's call-in show. They're calling again.
That's the whole thing. They didn't want to directly refer to the show, but they were, they found a way to be like, oh, this is, the Blues are calling. These people with depression are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs, saying they have various, mental ailments. That's the whole idea behind the lyrics.
Now, I embarrassingly knew so little about Frasier, and I've written sketches on Frasier, and I did not. Watching the pilot was eye-opening to me in a lot of ways. I did not know a lot. I also didn't. Well, should we get into it? Should we get into the pilot of Frasier?
I think so. The pilot of Frasier, titled "The Good Son."
One thing. Can I give someone credit for something that made me laugh so much about that song?
Of course.
I had read online somewhere, someone tweeted, where do you imagine Kelsey Grammer when he's singing this song? And I posed that question to, I think she's been on the show, Jen D'Angelo, who's is a big fan of Frasier. Yeah. And she said, in his bathtub, holding a little duck and singing it. And I can't not imagine it that way anymore.
Kelsey Grammer has noxious politics, but other than that, I kind of think he rules just because he's just lives this weird hedonistic life where, he's always got his shirt off and he's just dating an unending series of women and making his own pornos.
But
I don't know. I just think it's fascinating because it's different than kind of Frasier's stuffy persona that he's this guy who just likes to live it up.
That's what I think. That's why I think he leans into it personally.
Oh, you think he's fighting against it?
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, on that note, Kelsey Grammer employs an acting technique which I really like. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but as actors, you might appreciate this. He calls his technique requisite disrespect. And in doing that, what he means is that he claims he respects the material so much that he is trying not to care about it, and so he does as little prep as possible. Here's a passage from the LA Times. Grammer affects something he calls requisite disrespect for rehearsal, a stripping away of all the process's artifice that bears a striking resemblance to the think system used by Professor Harold Hill in The Music Man, and has the collateral benefit of holding Grammer's work week down to about 15 hours. So pretty much the highest paid actor in TV working a 15-hour week. Grammer doesn't actually learn his lines until moments before each scene is shot in front of an audience on Tuesday nights. In the early days, that used to terrify me, says director and executive producer David Lee, but he thinks it makes it more real, and you do get the feeling the words are just occurring to him as he says them. So he'd literally go to set the day of a shoot day, be learning his lines backstage before that scene, and then go out on stage and nail it.
You know what I think?
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit.
I mean, it's 100% a star, throwing his weight around to make things as easy on himself as possible. But in some sense, I do kind of respect it.
I respect it. But do you really think someone could learn, say it's whatever, a 6-page scene? I mean, I get it. If it's if it's 2 pages or something, I just don't know how you could memorize everything in 15 minutes. That's the only thing I don't believe.
I think he probably I think he figured out a way to do it. It would stress me out to no end. And I'm not even an actor, but anytime I've had to learn lines, I'm like, I have to put a lot of work into this to keep these things in my old noodle. But he's just like, fuck it, I don't care. And I'm guessing probably also he was not word perfect with some of these things. Although some of these jokes do hinge on that, so you have to think maybe that he was just super good at learning lines quickly.
Could it possible? It's possible. I kind of don't believe it, but it's good.
Yeah. I feel like the probably the people feeling the requisite disrespect are the crew and the audience and the other actors. okay, we've got to run one more time because you missed half your lines. And it's they get it by the end, but.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
He's ultimately making the most powerful person on set, making everyone else's lives harder.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. But the pilot, the Frasier pilot, is entitled "The Good Son." It aired on September 16th, 1993.
is that a reference to the movie The Good Son? It's the same year. The pilot came out the same year as The Good Son, the movie. Is it a reference to The Good Son, Macaulay Culkin?
It might be. Yeah, it very well might be.
Weird.
Yeah.
Would explain the scene where Niles is on that tree and there's a dog barking up at him. All I remember from The Good Son trailer.
Macaulay Culkin falls off a cliff at the end of Good Son. That's all.
Oh my
God. That's right.
I was a big Macaulay Culkin fan, and I remember, like, I loved Home Alone. Hey, Wags, you get it.
Yeah, of course.
And Dan, I'm sure you get it, too. I don't know why I singled Wags out for this one.
Yeah, I thought maybe you had a bit about him having a crush on young Macaulay Culkin or something like that.
He does now. He grew into it.
All right.
But my mom, like, had to talk to me. She's like, you know, this is, like, more of a... Oh, you know what? That might have been with my girl. But either way... She had to talk to me about, like, this is like a serious movie. Like, I know you like silly Macaulay Culkin, but this deals with some like real stuff. And it was either that or My Girl, because he gets stung to death by bees in My Girl, if you remember.
My Girl was the first movie that made me like weep. I remember it broke me apart.
And now you're doing it at Simpsons episodes, for God's sakes. What's going on?
Episodes, just pictures of you.
That is the sweetest thing. Weiger could never even express anything close to that, and that is very nice. Weiger, it is a dream. Young Weiger.
It's very cool.
Find out he's on The Simpsons?
Yeah, it's great, and I liked how thin I looked. That was very flattering.
I will say, I looked extremely good, way better than I ever have in my life.
So the pilot for Frasier, written by David Engel, Peter Casey, and David Lee, who were all veterans of Cheers who'd created Wings, and they had hatched a plan to, and directed by James Burrows, legendary sitcom director, they'd hatched a plan to
Hold
make a
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Is this why you were craving wings? When you were doing your research?
Wow. It's possible.
Is this what happened?
I was putting this outline together, and it planted wings in my head. Woke up thinking about wings.
You were saying to me that I wondered why you started craving wings, because you were telling me, you told me and Gabrus that you were craving wings. Was it because of the show Wings?
I think you're right. I think I read the word wings a bunch, and I was thinking about eating wings. It weaseled its way into my subconscious.
Dear God.
Wow.
I gotta start giving you like texts and stuff, saying Mitch is cool as hell.
Try to incept him. Don't do that. He's gonna eat you, dude.
And having some Cheers vets, you know, they'd hatch this. They were just gonna we'll make a Kelsey Grammer sitcom. It was originally not gonna be connected to Cheers, and eventually they were convinced, I guess, by NBC to just make a Frasier spinoff. They wanted to get as far away from Cheers as possible, which is why they set it in Seattle instead of Boston. Certainly, to the show's betterment, it being in Seattle is great.
God.
And I will say, similar to Cheers, it's just. Like the Cheers pilot, Mitch, which we watched for a pilot program with our buddy Maggie Monahan, just extremely efficient exposition. It feels like there's not a wasted line of dialogue.
It's great, and it did make me. When people are always like, "How do you do a sitcom?" Like a sitcom is like so dead, and I'm like, "No, we just don't make very many very good sitcoms. There's just like so few of them that feel like interesting plays. There's like a moment in the pilot where I mean, like, there's so many laugh lines, and I was, like, laughing out loud. I was shocked.
Yeah, me too.
I was laughing out loud constantly while watching it. But there's a moment, too, where they go from a laugh line to Frasier saying to his dad, you never say thank you because his dad is living with him. Like, you never say thank you, and then his dad says, let's go, Eddie. Like, I haven't fed you yet or whatever. And it's, like, a real, like, somber moment. It's, like, a very kind of sad moment, and they go with it, and it works. It's crazy. Like, I could never picture that working on any sitcom now.
Yeah.
And so many sitcoms are like, it's like a Modern Family, like, winking at you. Like, I'm sure that they deal with kind of sad moments as well, but it's just different. You get it. That's a single cam. It's not a multi-cam anyways, but...
Yeah, that they make these moments, these more serious, somber moments work often as act breaks is like, oh, wow, I don't remember this. I remember Niles being funny. I remember that about the show, you know, and I had watched a lot of Frasier's when they originally aired. But I don't remember like that this moment, the show having some like tenderness to it. But yeah. That is kind of at its core. It's like the relationship between this dad who doesn't see eye to eye with his two boys, but ultimately his two adult sons, but ultimately they love each other.
Which is just such a great. I mean, like when the dad's introduced, and I like honestly forgot what Martin Crane was like. I always think of the Raymond dad who looked like my grandpa. Yes. Like my dad's dad.
Peter Boyle. All right, Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle. I always think of Peter Boyle, and he is great. At first, I was like, is this the same actor? Because I just like didn't remember Martin Crane at all. And then as the show goes on, you're like, oh, he's so great. He's awesome.
The great John Mahoney cast without an audition.
Wow.
And he's fucking awesome in this.
Fuck him, actually.
What was his background before the show? I don't think I like know much about him.
Long list of credits. He was in one of the John Cusack movies. Oh, what was it? He had a big role in. It was either Pretty in Pink or he was like the dad in one of those iconic 80s teen movies. And then he's just like been a character actor in a ton of stuff. And I think he's done a lot of Broadway.
His intro and like even the dog. They don't tell you that Eddie's the dog, right?
Yes,
when they
that's
first
so great.
Talk about him. Yep. So the reveal with Frasier on the couch that he's looking at him is truly very funny.
It
I
is.
Had to like
great.
Replay it to be like, oh, they didn't mention he's a dog, and that's a joke for the audience.
Yes, they're like, oh, I don't want anyone else living with us. They make it seem like he's like maybe his friend. You don't really get what it is. And yeah, then it's revealed that it's this funny little dog, which they have a lot of fun with Eddie in the show, I know, over the years, right, Wags?
Oh yeah, Eddie's a staple of the show. great silent comedian.
What if Nick just fully disagreed with you there?
I hate Eddie.
They don't have any fun with him.
There's an applause break for Eddie when he comes on the first time. There's an actual applause break. I want to say the opening is so great because they also, first of all, the opening is just funny. He's riffing off some jokes there, but then also. They explain everything in the opening that he left Boston and he's in Seattle. They do it all within like 3 minutes and it's just really perfect. But I got to say this, in the opening, he's talking to Russell and he says, "Go Seahawks." Is it Russell Wilson, Wags?
It might very well be a young Russell Wilson. I mean, how old is Russell Wilson? Because this was released in 1993. Would that age have worked out?
Let's see here. Let's see. Hold
was
on.
Is Russell Wilson alive yet?
I'm looking up Russell Wilson.
The number one pick,
he
by
was
the way,
5 years old.
He was 5 years old, born
That's
in 88.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He's older than I expected.
What are you going to say, Wags?
I was going to say, I was just talking about athlete ages. The number one draft pick in this year's NBA draft was born in 2001.
Ugh, fuck.
The slow decay of time just never stops making you feel like a piece of shit. It's just like you never grow out of it.
On that point, athletes will always feel older than me because they are like better at life.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like they have committed more time and effort into one thing than I have done in that guy's 17 years than I've done in 35. And it's like, oh, you're older than me. You're younger, but like you have to make decisions that on a greater scale than I will ever have to make.
And then they have kids, and then the kids immediately are also older than me. Like their little child is older than me. They are older. They're I'm a little baby man, Wags. It's a sad thing to realize when you're just not. You just didn't get the gene. I didn't get the gene to be a human man.
Yeah, I saw Montrezl Harrell's 3-year-old dunk on you.
Did you say I play a man?
What?
What did you say? I play a man? What did you say after that? You said
I was
well,
saying you were. I was going to say about you talk about you playing up the baby thing, but the moment has kind of passed.
Fuck you.
I was going to say you wear a bonnet. You don't like that's. That's what I was gonna say, but we moved past it. So it starts after Cheers has ended, or the show Cheers has ended. Dr. Frasier Crane, as you mentioned, Mitch, gives basically an unbroken monologue into the microphone of the DJ booth where he is a drive time radio host, doing on air psychiatry, and that's how he introduces the premise. His brother Niles in the next scene. Oh, and we also meet Roz. Roz is his played by the great Perry Gilpin, is his producer in the show and a foil at work. And then Niles is introduced, Frasier's brother, and you get the info that the dad, Martin, needs to either go to a home. He can't live with himself anymore because of his bad hip. He either needs to be put in a home or live with one of the two of them. And Frasier decides that he's going to let his father live with him, and that's how we get into the premise of the pilot, basically. So it's all about his dad moving back in with him, and the relationship between him and, you know, because his dad is this gruff, if you're not familiar with the show, is this gruff retired police officer who'd been shot in the line of duty, and that's why he had a busted hip.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great that it's just such a great choice that there's two, like, these two dorky sons both of those characters are, like, inherently frustrating and, like, aggravating. You don't want to like them, but they are likable.
Yes.
But it's just the perfect foil is the grumpy old, like, blue-collar dad. It's great.
Yeah, great character intro for Niles, finding out, like, that he offended his Japanese gardener, Yoshi, and then had to run and hide in his house till Yoshi calmed down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. He's also, David Hyde Pierce is so fucking good in this show. The way that him and Frasier play peas in a pod, but also just like that Niles's character is so, now he has so many just like burns, like he's so good at just like little, you know, little jabs at Frasier and everyone else, and it's just like such a, he plays it so perfectly.
Frasier was 38 when the show started. Isn't that wild? Kelsey Grammer himself.
Kelsey Grammer is 38,
and this is another athlete thing where it feels like he should be like 55 or something. Yeah, it doesn't feel real.
Yeah,
he feels so much older.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer on Cheers to me seems older than I am now.
Yeah,
and Kelsey Grammer on Cheers obviously at some point was in his early 30s. Yep. Like it's which is weird to think about because he looks the same age. He looks like he does in Money Plane, which came out this year.
Which is the only movie you've seen this year, correct?
Yeah, the only movie I've seen, Money Plane.
Yes, no.
Rented out of theater.
When he was
a bunch of your friends though, right?
Yeah. It was packed. Yeah.
Nick, when he started Cheers, he was way younger than you. But. Anyways, going on to there was a joke right around there too, Dan, that I loved. There's this Golden Acres joke, and I feel like now it would be different. And I know that everyone gets annoyed when I say this, but I do truly believe this because there's this Golden Acres joke where he's like, the Niles says, we care so you don't have to. And then I feel like in a modern sitcom, that's where the joke would end.
Yeah,
but then Frasier is like, it says that, and you're like, oh, that's great that they actually like do discuss, and then he's like, no, but it might as well say that, and right. That to me is just like a touch of like, oh, that's good writing, because I feel like so often the joke would just end at that thing, and you'd be like, oh, I guess maybe just that does exist in that world. This is too dorky. I apologize.
No, but I think you're right, and it also informs Niles's character because it's like, oh, that's coming from Niles, this like witty, you know, acid tongued like little shit. That's coming from his brain. It's not that the pamphlet is weird in this weird sitcom world, because it would never say that in an actual pamphlet unless you're in like some heightened reality.
Which I feel like, yes, I feel like others. It is. I mean, look, I don't want to say everything's bad because I'm sure there's sitcoms out there, but I think that when I watch any sitcom now, just like the bright lights, it looks like shit, and I don't want to watch it. And I was shocked how much I liked Frasier because I didn't watch a lot of Frasier, and I loved the first episode. It was fucking great.
The pilot, it's staggering. It's so good. It's so crisp, and the jokes land, and the performances are so sharp. So plot wise, Martin, his dad, moves in, brings in Eddie, as was mentioned, and then also brings in his recliner, which is a big point of contention because Frasier has this very stylized, esoteric apartment with all these different expensive pieces of furniture. And he brings in this dusty old, like, you know, shitty chair with duct tape on it. And that frustrates Frasier to no end.
Yeah,
this was a part where two things impressed me. First of all, they're like having the conversation about where he got all the furniture and all the like decor stuff from. And I'm like, how do you know all the names of those things without Google? How did the writer's room name like eight fancy types of furniture?
Yeah.
Without just Googling like fancy furniture place.
It's a great point.
Even before knowing Kelsey Grammer's acting style, I was impressed with like, he like monologues and like lists off all the names of the places and makes a pretty funny choice with the way he says each name, which would break my brain just to memorize those lines. So if he's using that like disrespectful acting, whatever he calls it, that is impressive that he was able to do that.
Yeah. I don't believe him. I still don't believe him. That's even more proof to me that it seems impossible. I mean, he's good. Maybe he's just the best. Maybe that's why he's the highest paid sitcom star, Wigs, because he's
just, I don't know.
So good.
I mean, it's also that article, I think, was a little bit deeper into its run. So, like, I heard a similar thing. Like, maybe for the pilot, he was actually prepping a little bit more properly. I heard a similar thing about Big Bang Theory is they reached a point where they would just be like, well, this show's on autopilot. The writers work from 11 to 3, and we shoot the show in 2 hours, and everyone goes home. It's like it's just like they just it was such a money machine that by the end they just figured out how to streamline everything to make everyone's days as easy as possible. I don't know. It might have just been
I'm saying you'd like that, right?
I would love that. That sounds like a dream. So the other character that gets introduced is the healthcare provider who Frasier, again to his frustration, learns has to live with them. Daphne, who is an eccentric immigrant from Manchester, England, is her character description, and they have a great scene. Again, just a very economical scene where, like, you know, Frasier has just interviewed another candidate because they're interviewing a bunch of candidates, and he ends the interview and he just turns to his dad. He's like, what's wrong with that one? You know, it's just like, oh, we get that this has been a thing that's been going on. And then the next candidate is Daphne, and they get right into it and she gets hired.
Yeah, she's pretty great, too. She's a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, I can tell, obviously, that she adds a lot to the series, but you know, I honestly don't know if I've ever, besides like falling asleep after The Simpsons with like Frasier being on, I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched a full episode of Frasier like this before.
Yeah.
Now her and Niles end up together, right? Or they do in the few, I feel like I never watched the show, but same as Mitch, like on in the background, I have some great amount of knowledge about it.
Yeah, so that's actually when I feel like Frasier heads think that when Niles and Daphne got together, that's when the show kind of jumped the shark, because it was just for a long time it was Niles' role is increased after this first season because he's just like such a breakout character. And one thing they give Niles is that he has this huge crush on Daphne that Daphne is oblivious about, and Niles is very, very like transparently just like, you know, horny towards her. And that's like a very fun dynamic. And then eventually it turns into just like they get married, and it's just, I don't know, it's just less fun than the old dynamic.
To Dan's point, I wrote a sketch about how like there was a restaurant in Seattle named Frasier's, and that's like what the show is based on. And to Dan's point, Googled everything about the sketch. Didn't know shit. I didn't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they made those. I don't know how they came up with all those details. You had to like get a book on interior design or something, I guess.
That sucks.
Now, was the sketch an assignment, or did you decide to write a sketch about something you knew nothing about?
It was an assignment. It was work. I would never do it if it wasn't work. I got paid. I'm one of the few people who got paid for his work at UCB all those years.
Wow, you were the one.
I was the one.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, you're the one that designed that like alien stoner poster that says Heighten and Explore.
Man, what if an alien smoked weed? That would be fucking crazy.
That's going to be such a sad thing to find in that tomb when they open it back up.
The final act is that Frasier goes back to work. Him and Roz like have this whole heart to heart. Roz gives him a little, you know, like tells him a little story that he takes to heart. And then his caller, I love this. I didn't remember this. I think I've seen this episode before, but I didn't remember that this is the plot turn, is that Frasier is an on-air psychiatrist. He gets calls from people with problems, and one of the calls is from Martin, who's having problems with his son. And it's just the dad and the son, these two guys who have problems connecting with each other emotionally, have like this abstracted conversation where they apologize to each other and realize that they both need to, you know, grow up and appreciate each other a little bit. It's really well done.
Do they've got to use that again at some point, right? Like, I mean, like that's just such a good, it's so great. I mean, I can't believe you used it in the pilot. It's a great moment.
Yeah. Great device.
You got to kitchen sink that whole pilot. Use all your best moves.
I guess so. Go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
No, you. Please, nope. Please.
No, please. We're at a standoff. We're just going to be silence.
We need Giuliani in here to settle this.
Dan, please go.
I forgot what I was going to say, so you can go.
No! I was going to say that I think the only thing that makes it a sitcom is the fact that, I mean, like, obviously other things, a laugh track and so on, but...
Sure.
Or a live studio audience. But the fact that the subject matter is about, like, something that would break up families normally. Like, this thing about, like, Niles and Frasier, like being like, who wants to take dad? Which is such a huge, huge, huge thing. And then in the end, when you do have that conversation, it kind of, the realness of it is a very sweet moment. They handle it really well, again, with the dad calling in. And then he says, there, I said thank you, because Frasier was looking for a thank you. And you get a big laugh, too. It's great. I mean, to me the pilot is an A++++. It's great.
Wow, is that what we're ranking out of? We'll do
a score. My score may be different from A++.
Let's rate it now, and then we'll wrap up with some Nog talk. I am gonna say, wait, what should we rate this out of, Mitch?
I think we gotta rate it out of Eddie Turds.
Okay, we'll rate it out of Eddie Turds.
Which are good?
Yes.
Yeah. You want more of them.
Because you know that you're going to laugh if you see an Eddie Turd.
They're funny, and you can sell them on eBay. They're a collector's item.
Wow.
I am going to say this one out of 5 Eddie Turds, I give it 5 Eddie Turds. It's so efficient and smart and great. It's got great jokes and performances, and also... To Mitch's point, it's like a very serious main plot that has the dual purpose of setting up a great premise for the sitcom, which is that grumpy old dad comes to live with his fussy son.
Yeah,
and it's fucking great. So yeah, 5 Eddie Turds for me. Oh, what do you think, Spoon Man?
Nick, this is an easy 5 Eddie Turds. This is the easiest. This is the easiest I've ever given out 5 Eddie Turds. I 5++ Eddie Turds. I think you know, the one thing I question is when it started, and you can maybe answer this for me, Wags, but was the tossed salad and scrambled eggs, was that just always at the end, or did it ever come on in the beginning? It was just always an end song?
No, it's always at the end. They don't really have like a big theme. They just a little cue.
Ah, okay, all right. Because when I first started, I was like, is tossed salad and scrambled eggs not here? And then at the end, you get the tossed salad and scrambled eggs. You got the whole family, Eddie and Martin and Frasier and Daphne, all sitting on the couch, and I gotta say, it's flawless. I truly like. There's not much I can really complain about. It's great.
Yeah. Lippert, what do you think? What are your final thoughts and what's your rating?
Yeah, I gotta say, I think especially because I think when you come into like a podcast review of something, my instinct is to be like snarky, and like that's the best way to like have a take on it is to not like it. And it was impossible for me to not like it. 5 Eddie Turds. I mean,
wow.
I think what I said, I was really surprised by how silly it is. Like, when Kelsey Grammer first answers the door when his dad comes, he, like, does a silly, slow, dumb walk that is just, like, a funny physicality. I think it hits all the points of, like, good writing, but also they're kind of working super hard. It felt, like, exhausting to act those roles. And it occurred to me while Mitch was talking that for breakfast today, totally by accident, I had a tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Wow.
Wow.
I did not plan it.
Wow.
I'm just kind of shocked by it. There's no commentary.
this is like your the wings thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yes, yes.
It's so strange. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about dinner, I'm kind of craving Eddie turds. Frasier pilot, very huge success for the pilot program. Check it out, The Good Son. You can find it on Hulu or CBS.com for free if you don't have Hulu. Wow. Let's talk Nog.
I can't believe it had tossed salad and scrambled, which we ate that at a live show, and it was fucking disgusting.
It was really gross.
Did you mix them with each other?
Yes, we mixed them together. Yeah,
we mixed them together.
It was horrible.
Part of the revulsion for me is that it was like a raspberry vinaigrette,
yeah,
which was not a good choice. Yeah.
I also really downed it, if you remember why, because I really yeah. went at it.
Also, sorry if this is an old reference. I'm not sure if I'm up to date, but Nick, were you mad that the salad wasn't too warm?
All right. It's unfortunately not an old reference. It's a thing that's still in the canon, and it's not true. I don't like hot salad.
I wanted to give an update that I had finished my chili.
Wow. How was it?
It was good, and now I'm remembering I was watching What Chili Wants last night.
Probably got in your head.
Hey Mitch, I hate to break it to you, but I see a full bowl of chili next to you and that comforter looks spick and span. Are you sure
no. you didn't? Oh boy. Classic
goof. Oh fuck. I spooned up a bunch of Irma barf.
Do you guys like Nog?
Hey, Frasier writers, come up with what chili wants off the top of your head. That's from Google. I Googled that. Why?
You got that from Google?
Yeah, I didn't know what I was trying to look up. What TV show has chili in it?
So you were looking for, you saw What Women Wants? What Women Want, and you changed it to Chili?
It's an actual TV show.
There's a show called What Chili Wants?
I just thought you were telling a true story. I didn't realize.
Yeah. is that Chili from TLC?
That is, Wags. You're right.
Oh, wow. It's like a dating show or something?
I think so. Seems like you know everything about it now.
I'm just making inferences.
Weird. Is that like a VH1 dating show?
Where Chili finally tries to find love after a tough go at it.
Hey, did you see that? My name is Spoon Cam.
I did. It's good.
I thought that was a regular thing. I saw Wag Spoon Cam, and then mine is just Dan, and it made me feel stupid.
No, you're doing it right. We're the ones who are being stupid. So let's talk eggnog.
Hey, Frasier's not the only silly one. We get silly over here,
That's
too.
That's true. We get a little silly here in the Doughboys. Here's what I would say is I don't think I am a Nog guy. Nog is a slog. I've tried it straight. I've tried it with alcohol. But I just like I always feel like I'm just drinking. I love eggs, but I always just feel like I'm drinking scrambled eggs, like not uncooked scrambled eggs. It just doesn't click for me. But are you? How do you guys feel about Nog? And Mitch, I think you have some Nog. You might taste test for the show.
I poured myself a glass of the Nog. It's I think it's Gorelick Farms. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Gorelick Farms. Yeah, Holiday Eggnog. Here's a close up.
Wow.
Gorelick
Farms. Just holding up the Nog to the camera.
Uh-huh. Holiday Eggnog. Now, do people drink eggnog warm, right?
I only remember it being chilled, but maybe you can have it warm.
Can you do not eat it warm? I thought do you not drink it warm? Maybe you don't. I thought that it was a thing like cider where you could have warm cider or you can have warm eggnog. No. Emma is shaking her head no.
Wow.
Emma is throwing up.
Yeah, Emma looks disgusted by it.
I mean, I think that would be like drinking a glass of warm milk. You know what I mean?
Which is
like,
that's not that crazy. People do drink that warm milk.
I don't think normally eggnog is served warm though. I think it's cold.
Okay.
That's my experience as well. Dan, how about you?
Well, I'm not a eggnog wasn't a big part of my life. Because we were Jewish, and so it wasn't like around much. And I only started drinking it just out of curiosity, I would say.
Right.
And so, off the top of my head, I don't imagine it warm. What aisle do you get it from in the grocery store? Is it in the refrigerator aisle?
This was chilled. My mother picked it up today because I told her last minute I was on the treadmill, Wags.
Yes.
I said, will you please pick up some eggnog on the way? So she got me some cold eggnog. It was in the fridge. Sometimes there's – I know that sometimes – look, I thought that it's mostly chilled is what I want to say. I just thought sometimes it's served warm. But maybe I am very far off here. But is it sometimes served with ice too? I'm like Dan. I did not have a lot of experience with eggnog. It was also like growing up, I always just thought eggnog was like inherently had booze in it. I didn't know that it didn't. So as a kid, I wasn't drinking eggnog because I couldn't have it, and I just always thought it had booze in it. And then I just never really got into it. Besides that, it's a weird name. Eggnog is a weird name for a drink.
Agreed.
But I'm down to have a fun holiday drink. You put some rum in there. My mom told me, she said, the eggnog's in the fridge and there's some rum on the table if you want to try it with rum. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a sip of it right now, just plain.
You got rum from your mom.
I got some rum from my mom.
There you go. Mitch is sipping some nog right now. What do you think?
It's strange. It's like, I mean, like it's drinking like some sort of cream. I'm drinking a cream, and this is like a holiday eggnog. It almost tastes like a little bit minty in some way.
Are you getting much egg character from it? Mitch is taking another sip right now.
This reminds me of drinking like a Shamrock shake, like that has been melted. And like has warmed up a little bit.
Now that sounds kind of appetizing to me. Weirdly,
it's not terrible. I'm not like there's like kind of a bubble gum flavor to this. It's weird. I mean, like I'm now wondering how often have I had eggnog? Is this like one of my? I know that I've had like a cup of alcohol, like rum and eggnog before in my life, but this is a new taste to me. Maybe Gorelick Farms has some weird eggnog. I'm gonna pour some rum into it.
I'm stuck on Mitch trying to figure out what the point of eggnog was when it first was introduced.
Yeah, I don't know. I should have done some research into the history of nog. I think whatever its origin, it's just such a strange thing to drink to me. And as opposed to like an egg cream, which is the name of a drink, but that just has no actual egg in it. That egg is like a central component of a beverage, you know, like an egg white to add some foam to a craft cocktail. Sure. But like actually having like whole eggs in there, like it feels like you're just drinking, you know, batter.
We talked about how egg cream is a bad name for a drink also. They are very tasty, but...
Yes, it's a bad name. Yeah. I agree.
There's a joke in, I think it's in So I Married an Axe Murderer, where Mike Myers says, I think most Scottish food was made up on a dare. And I feel like that's true with eggnog, where it's like somebody was like, what is the weirdest thing you can get people to drink on Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like a... As far as like a holiday drink, I'll take like a mulled wine over an eggnog any day, or you know, like and I don't love hot alcoholic drinks, but like a hot toddy. Give me a hot toddy over eggnog.
I've added too much rum.
Yeah.
I got the rum from my mom on my bed covered in cum.
Okay. Was that come there before or after Irma's barf?
Mitch, you are disgusting.
Mitch is just making holiday soup.
Thank you, Irma. That's what I said when she...
I don't know if it's like... Obviously, it's a Jewish thing to not have it because it's Christmas related. But I also think a common Jewish thing that I definitely have is lactose intolerance. So it was almost like made to keep Jews away from your Christmas parties, where it's like, yeah, we're serving ham and cream. I mean, come if you want, but
you know what? I wouldn't put it past Christians. They're fucked up in many ways.
It's true.
With the rum, it's funny because way more flavor without the rum, and I've balanced it out a little bit. The rum does. I mean, like, yeah, I would enjoy having this. Maybe I would like ice in it, honestly. But if I'm at a holiday party and I'm already had a couple drinks, this is fun to like put you over the top and embarrass yourself with. You know what I mean? Like, this would do the job. Wag.
Sure. Yeah, it can be a very potent beverage. And when I've had it boozy, it's one of those ones that like sneaks up on you. You're very quickly shit faced at mm-hmm. some sort of holiday gathering. I did some quick Googling, what the Fraser writers could not do, about eggnog, and it's very simple: sugar, eggs, sugar, milk, and cream. Apparently dates back to 13th century Europe and from medieval monks. This is from thespruceheats.com. And is saying that they used to have milk and wine. Like, that was a drink, like a milk and wine punch, which sounds revolting to me. And then this became like a more a plussed up version of that that also introduced eggs.
My mom was saying the other day that Mr. Bogan, who was like one of my dad's best friends, he passed away young, which was very sad. But he used to come over to the house and he'd bring a thing of whiskey. And in fact, what's the Canadian whiskey? The Canadian, does anyone know? Emma, you probably know.
Canadian Club.
Canadian Club. Thank you, Emma. He bring Canadian Club, like a handle of Canadian Club, and a 2 liter of Mountain Dew. And this is like way back in the day where, and that's what, like, Mountain Dew was like a chaser for whiskey.
Really?
Yeah. Mountain Dew was like Mountain Dew and whiskey was a thing at one point, which I had no idea. So like, and I've heard things with like milk being poured in, like, there's been like weird things where like milk has been used in like beer and shit. Like milk's made its way into alcohol maybe too much. I'm not.
Yeah.
And right now it's nice to drink it, 'cause it does, the eggnog does mask the rum. You know what I mean? It does do a good job, and I'm sure that it makes you feel nice and warm if you're drinking, on Christmas Eve or whatever, but I don't know. I might be with you, Wags. I don't know if I'm the biggest, nog head.
Yeah.
I think myself for the nog is just the things that exist around a time that drinking them like puts you in that time. Like, you feel like, oh, it's the holidays. I'm tasting the holiday. Like, I only crave it 3 weeks a year because it makes me feel like that time.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know what? I kind of like that. I drink ciders year round now, but I love having like a nice cider around Thanksgiving or Christmas.
That's fun.
And also like I was saying, like a mulled cider or a hot cider with rum in it. I think that's a lot of fun. And I do, when it is the holidays, I crave something like that. And this is close to that. I could drink it, but just a milky, just like a very strong milky beverage. It's like drinking more than one. Who wants a ton of White Russians?
That's an occasional indulgence at best.
My thing when I went to college, because it's when Big Lebowski was like had its resurgence, was I was like, I'm going to walk around the dorms in a robe and drink White Russians all the time, and that's going to be my persona. So 18-year-old Dan wants a bunch of White Russians. But
Dan, how long did that last? Rule. Was it quick?
I wouldn't even say I did it more than one time. And believe it or not, was a virgin still through that whole year.
You and me both, buddy.
Well, I guess our verdict is we're not nog hogs. We think nog is a slog. I think that seems to be the consensus. Is any dissenters? Anyone wanted to stand up for nog?
Emma,
it's at best situational.
No, Emma's saying no.
I had a thing with White Russians my freshman year of college as well, and it was a one night, and I still don't know how I got home, but I did wake up on the bathroom floor. So no, I don't really like anything boozy and creamy. It doesn't feel right to me. It makes me sick.
Yeah. Dangerous combo.
And even if you get like an Irish coffee or whatever, like, you're not doing a bunch of those. You're just having one. You know what I mean? Like, one,
sure,
maybe two.
Yes, White Russians are a one and done. I think boozy nog should be a one and done as well.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
And I'm like a nervous drinker. If I'm at an occasion that has eggnog, it's probably social. So I just, whatever's in my hand, I'll keep sipping. Like I'll nibble whatever food is around. So if the drink is eggnog, I'm going to accidentally have five and just have to leave like with drunk diarrhea.
And if I got to rank diarrheas, drunk diarrheas, that gets one Eddie turd. Or I should say probably zero Eddie turds.
Yeah, have you done a Mount Diarrhea More yet?
Dan Lippert, thank you so much for being here. A delight. Please come back to the show and do a full episode when you have the time.
Thanks for having me.
And a real treat. Now, Big Grande.
Yes.
Your fantastic sketch group with the aforementioned Ryan Rosenberg.
We're going to get the rest of them on, too.
Drew Tarver, John Mackey. Yeah, we've had Tarver on. We got to get the whole crew on here. Yeah. But you guys have my understanding is that you have some new podcasts or a new podcast singular, however you want to say it, in the works.
Yeah, so we did a podcast called The Teacher's Lounge for a few years on Earwolf and Stitcher Premium, where it was recurring teacher characters all improvised. And we are doing a similar type of thing, but we've started our own website, biggrandewebsite.com. Where you can download two new podcasts from us, and you pay up front, you pay directly. One of them is called Last Resort, and it's four of us running a like rundown resort and discussing it. And the other one's called Exit 42, and they're short, mini 15-minute episodes, 30-minute episodes, all at the same like exit off of the highway at different businesses. So they're like short improv scenes. So we're excited for that. We're excited to sell it directly to people. You buy it, you have it on your RSS feed, and you know, then we get the money right away instead of waiting 2 years for Earwolf to pay us or whatever the thing is. And also I've got a Patreon with my friend Ryan Rosenberg called it's the Man Dog Pod at patreon.com/ You're the Man Now Dog. And it's an improv and conversation, and we have a ton of free episodes if you want to see what it's like first with a million fun guests. So that's another one that I'm really proud of.
Check it out, and we got to have you come back for a full ep.
Thank you. I mean, it's in a world where you're already like ashamed to host a podcast as a group of straight white men. It's hard to build up a guest list of more straight white men because you want to have an open dialogue with different people from different walks of life. So I get it.
Yeah,
take your time.
For sure. No, we'd love to have you back. And Nick, I just want to quickly say.
Yes.
2.5 Eddie turds for the eggnog, 2.75 for eggnog with the rum. And the eggnog check, the eggnog is gone now, and the chili's gone, but they're not mixing too well. I think I'm about to pull an Irma on my bedspread.
Oh, no. Check out biggrandewebsite.com. Check out Teacher's Lounge if you haven't already. And that's this week's Doughboys Double.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.
Doughboys Media.